Many others have undertaken to compile a narrative of the events that have been fulfilled among us, exactly as those happenings were passed on to us by the original eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. I too have investigated everything carefully from the beginning and have decided to write it down for you, noble Theophilus, so that you may see how reliable the instruction was that you received. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and his reputation spread throughout the region. He was teaching in the Galilean synagogues, and all were loud in their praise. Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. Entering the synagogue on the Sabbath, as was his habit, Jesus stood up to do the reading. When the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to Jesus, he unrolled the scroll and found the passage where it is written, "The Spirit of our God is upon me, because the Most High has anointed me to bring good news to those who are poor. God has sent me to proclaim liberty to those held captive, recovery of sight to those who are blind, and release to those in prison, to proclaim the year of our God's favor." Rolling up the scroll, Jesus gave it back to the assistant and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he said to them, "Today in your hearing, the scripture passage is fulfilled." The good news of salvation.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Toasty up here with all these clothes on. Let's see. I think I want the handheld. Thank you. So this is a mass for all ages, so we're going to have a little fun. You all know how to have fun. This is a good thing. So, first, we're going to talk about stories. So there are three kinds of stories. One is our personal story. You know, what our life is about and what we think and where our gifts are and how things work and what it is to be me or you. And then there's the our story, which is all the community of people, our family, our neighborhoods, the world of people. And then the third story is the story, the universal story, the story of Christ. And so we're going to look at each of those stories a little bit. So I want to tell you a tiny bit about my story. So I'm the middle child of three girls, and my older sister was very good on piano and voice, and so she went to college and she ended up being a music minister coordinator for her church. And she still, at age 75, plays the organ and sings and directs a choir and sings in a choir. And those were her gifts. I mean, she just loves music and it's amazing. When my nephew got married, we were in a big cathedral and she played the organ and the music came forward. And so I'm the middle one, and I used to have braids down to here. I could sit on my braids, and this hair was red once upon a time. And so my sister is 4 years older than I am. And so I was more creative, I guess. I wrote poems and prayed a lot, wanted to be a priest when I was little, and of course I could only be a nun at that time. And but then I started, when I came out to college, started managing volunteers, and so I had lots of jobs managing volunteers and all the service that we could do. And then eventually I got to be a priest, and that's kind of where I am now, right? But if you would ask my mother, she would say, yeah, Kay was always that way. Whatever that way is. So we each have our unique thing, right? So then my little sister decided not to go to college and wanted to stay on the farm. And she became a machinist. She worked to make irrigation pipe and stuff like that. And then drove a bus for the school district for a long time. And is now a banker. So she works at a bank in a town nearby. And so she had very different gifts than any of us. So when we read these stories that you guys read about all the different gifts and how the body's put together, it's like, we can't say to the hand, I need you to do what the ear does, and you can't say to the nose, I don't need you. And so I was thinking about that, and it's like, you remember the song about the hokey pokey? Did you ever do that? Hokey pokey, and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. You put your right hand in, you put your right hand out. But if your hand did what the foot was supposed to do, it would be a really big mess. You can't just change those up. Each one has its own role, right? So when I was thinking about the hokey pokey, it's that piece for us is that we're all part of one body, and yet we each have a body. So that's the personal stories, that I have a body, you have a body, and then we have our collective body. So there were going to be a bunch of people here, so I'm going to have you all play a little bit of a popcorn game. But the people on Zoom, if you put us on gallery view, Joe, if you do this thing that I'm going to mention, I want you to wave wildly. You can come out here so you can see. So all the things that make the church work, okay? So you're going to get your exercise in terms of what it takes to be the church. So if you're involved in music, stand up. Sit down. We're going to do it really fast. If you welcome people or you're a greeter, stand up. Sit down. If you proclaim the word, if you're a lector, stand up. Sit down. Yay? Or you can just wave wildly. If you helped prepare the sacred space and put the cloths on and the banner, stand up. Sit down. If you bake the bread, stand up. There you go. If you're ever a teacher, stand up. There you go. If you contribute to the offering, stand up. If you bring forth the gifts, stand up. There you go. If you ever take communion to the sick, stand up. If you write the bulletin, send it out, or copy it. If you ever offer a prayer. Yes, yes. If you're part of the assembly. I know. If you're a deacon. Yay, if you're a priest, yay. If you are part of the audiovisual crew. If you light the candles, yay. If you're a Eucharistic minister, yay, yay, yay. So you can see that we need lots of gifts for the church to happen. If you make something for the potluck ever, there you go. You do that. Yes. If you prepare the worship aid, that'd be me. If you stuff the worship aid, there you go. Exactly. So we know that it takes lots of personal gifts to make the world go round, and it takes lots of gifts to make the church go round. All of you are involved in some way with that. And so when we look at the gospel reading from Luke. Last week, in John's gospel, Jesus began his ministry at a wedding, and he turned the water into wine, and that was a revelation or a ta-da, an epiphany that Jesus was there. But that was John's gospel. So now we're in Luke's gospel. And Jesus begins his public ministry by preaching to his hometown. So I want to give you a moment to think about Luke. Luke was not an eyewitness of Jesus. He never met Jesus. He wrote based on what he learned from Paul. And Paul didn't ever meet Jesus either. We're talking about an oral tradition, the stories of your family that gets passed on and passed on and passed on. And so Luke comes together in that gospel that Christy proclaimed, and he says, I'm going to try to put this together in an orderly way. Well, there might be some guys and maybe some women in this room who would really like things in an orderly way. They would like it to be chronological. And that's what Luke set out to do. So when they put together the lectionary or the readings that we use today, they said, we're just going to do this little bit about Luke, and then we're going to jump to when he comes to the temple, synagogue to preach. So what you need to know is in between there, Luke has stories about what happened when he was a baby, when Jesus was a baby, and then stories about what happened when Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan, and then story about Jesus going off into the desert to pray and to fast and be tempted there. And so then after all of that, he makes his way back home. So when he comes back home and he comes into the synagogue and they give him the scroll to read, and remember we talked about the scroll being like this, and you have to open it like this. And he found the part in Isaiah and he proclaimed that, and he said, this is being fulfilled right now in your hearing. In other words, I am the Messiah. And so you can imagine the down hometown people who watched him when he was a little kid and watched him with Joseph and Mary and then knew he went away, but then he came back. And they're going, some of them were like, yay, I think. And then there were others that were like, who does he think he is? He's just a kid from the neighborhood. Who does he think he is? And so some of the people were happy to see him, and some of the people were not. Some of the people thought he was the king that was going to come and be the ruler, but that isn't ever what Jesus said. He said, I'm going to come and I'm going to be with you, but I'm not going to be a king, and I'm not going to ride a horse. What kind of animal did he eventually ride? Donkey. Donkey. Yeah. Eventually came in on Palm Sunday on a donkey. So we all have our stories, and they all connect to the big story, which is God's law and God's love. God wants us to know that we are loved and that our job is to love. How does that relate to our mission at Church of the Beloved? Do you know what our mission is? To love and be loved. Sometimes it's easier to do one than the other. Sometimes it's easy to be the one who loves. Sometimes it's not so easy to be the one who gets loving or receives the love. So I'm going to read that passage from the gospel one more time for you to know the big story and why we're here. The Spirit of our God is upon me, because the Most High has anointed me to bring good news to those who are poor. God has sent me to proclaim liberty to those held in captive, for recovery of sight to those who are blind, and release to those in prison, to proclaim the year of our God's favor. So we are all called to that mission. That is the story. And that's who we are together. So I'm grateful that each of you are here and the gifts that each of you bring. And so when you're tempted to point to somebody and say, I don't like them, or I don't want to welcome them, then I want you to think about the hand and the foot and say, can the hand say to the foot, I don't need you? Nope. We all need everybody. So not all behaviors are welcome, but all people are welcome, and all people are gifts of God that we are called to love. And sometimes that's easier than others. So when you're having a hard time loving somebody, maybe it's your brother or your sister or your mom or your dad or some neighbor or whoever, you can ask for help and say, I'm having a hard time figuring out how to love this person. And somebody will help you out. Likely there's some common ground somewhere that if we pause long enough, we can find out what's in the heart of that person, and I bet it's similar to what's in my heart if I dig deep enough. So we want to find our common ground, and we want to love each other in the way that we're called to. Sound like a plan? All right. Well, Christy's going to lead us in the prayers of the faithful. Oh, and I have to tell you before she does this, we